Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, Numbers 851 to 920. M.R. Number 875. Appeal for Spiritual Ministers. I am assured again and again that the Lord has a great work to be done in this country. He has laid upon me a burden that I dare not refuse to carry. We have greatly needed a sanitarium in this country. The medical missionary work is to be as the hand and arm of the gospel message to be born in this new world. We needed a sanitarium to give influence and character to the work, to accomplish the reforms so much needed. The ministry of the word and medical missionary work, properly combined, would have exerted a much greater influence for good than working alone. Never was there a place where medical missionary work would have told with more power than in Australia. But in our efforts to do this work, we have been handicapped for want of means. The money we should have had to invest in a sanitarium has been used in erecting sanitariums in places where they were not so much needed. The Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest physician this world has ever known. We cannot, in the full sense of the word, call him a medical missionary. He was the divine healer. He was imbued with power to heal all manner of diseases without resorting to drugs. Daniel's experience is of great value to all who would be Christians. When Daniel was brought in before Belshazzar, as the king and his nobles sat at their sacrilegious feast, he plainly told the king that the calamity to come upon Babylon was the result of a disregard of heaven-sent light. He disregarded the light given to Nebuchadnezzar, and thereby lost the benefits he might have received had he been obedient to the light. God gives his people lessons to instruct them and lead them to reform. If they do not receive and practice these lessons, their neglect will surely bring judgments upon them. We read again in Daniel, "By this we see that heavenly agencies have to contend with hindrances before the purpose of God is fulfilled in its time." The king of Persia was controlled by the highest of all evil angels. He refused, as did Pharaoh, to obey the word of the Lord. Gabriel declared, "He withstood me 21 days by his representations against the Jews." But Michael came to his help, and then he remained with the kings of Persia, holding the powers in check, giving right counsel against evil counsel. Good and evil angels are taking a part in the planning of God in his earthly kingdom. It is God's purpose to carry forward his work in correct lines, in ways that will advance his glory. But Satan is ever trying to counterwork God's purpose. Only by humbling themselves before God can God's servants advance his work. Never are they to depend on their own efforts or on outward display for success. I call upon those who believe the truth for this time to reform, to purify the heart and humble self. Sincere belief of the truth and earnest prayer are our weapons of warfare. The exercise of all the musical talent among us will not change the hearts of the church members or increase their spirituality. Humiliation, confession, and most earnest prayer will bring about that which all the devising of men, be they high or low, cannot accomplish. Let us remember that it is Satan's purpose to set at work forces which will obscure the testing message for this time. If ever there was a time when self-sacrifice must be made, when earnest, sincere prayer must be offered, when diligent work must be done, it is now. Satan has come down with great power to work with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. God looks with contempt upon the large assemblies at the Battle Creek Tabernacle, while the hearts of those present are lifted up unto vanity. Their numbers displease him. Is there not a world to be warned? Why then are there those assembled in the tabernacle whose hearts swell with vanity because of their large assembly and their music? Let there be a humiliation of soul before God, that he may remove the discipline he has placed upon his people because they have departed from God. The simplicity and integrity that God requires his people to show is the line of demarcation between those who serve God and those who serve him not. At the very heart of the work, there is necessity for sincere, true humiliation, which has not yet been seen. God will vindicate every message he has given to his people. He will justify all his dealings with them. They have departed out of the way, and the only course that can bring relief and hope and success in bearing the solemn message for this time is for them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. There is a careless, venturesome spirit which needs to be guarded. It is humiliating for us to acknowledge that we have done wrong, but this is often necessary. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer will draw down from heaven great blessings when those who claim to believe the truth shall come down from their stilts of self-exaltation and afflict their souls, even as Daniel afflicted his soul. The Lord is not pleased with the spirit or the principles that have a controlling power in the Review and Herald office. The strong spirit of man rules, not the spirit of God. God will not work with their devising. When men get out of the Lord's way and let him work upon hearts and minds, blessings will come to them. The fervent prayers, the sincere humiliation, the self-denial and self-sacrifice which blends with the supplications made will bring down rich blessings. Through his chosen agencies, God will graciously make known his purposes. Then the grand work of redemption will go forward. Men will learn of the reconciliation for iniquity and of the everlasting righteousness which the Messiah has brought in through his sacrifice. The cross of Calvary is the great center. This truth acted upon will make Christ's sacrifice effectual. This is that which Gabriel revealed to Daniel in answer to fervent prayer. It was of this that Moses and Elijah and Christ talked at his transfiguration. By the humiliation of the cross, he was to bring everlasting deliverance to all who would walk after him, giving positive evidence that they are separated from the world. All who will endure to the end will be saved. All who will hold the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end will have eternal righteousness. But those who depart from the principles which give character to the truth need converting as verily as does the hardened sinner. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10, 6, 10 to 13, quoted. God is represented as weighing the characters, actions, and motives of men. Christ said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," John 3, verse 7. He is speaking the same words to those who know not the Spirit that moves them to action. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, said, "The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. David says, "Men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." Psalm 62, verse 9. Isaiah declares, "Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just." Isaiah 26, verse 7. And Solomon writes, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Proverbs 16, verse 2. There is not a motive in the heart that the Lord does not read. He reads every purpose, every thought of the heart. It is not an increase of light that is needed. It is the surrendering of the soul to God, that by the power of his grace he may make the light he has caused to shine into the heart a living principle of action. When a man who has had great light, who is supposed to be led and taught by God, turns out of the way because of self-confidence, he makes false paths for his feet. He follows crooked practices, and many who have admired the supposed nobility and integrity of his character follow his example, thinking that the Lord is leading him. The false step he took resulted in thousands of false steps. The great worker of evil is on the track of every soul. Unfair dealings, the misappropriation of the Lord's funds, the investing of money in worldly projects, is holding back work which the Lord designs shall be done. Thus, Satan inspires men to block the way of the advancement of God's kingdom. God sees every deed done, and he sees also the outcome of that deed. Those who have done deeds which have hedged up the way of the work of salvation are weighed in the balances and found wanting. We have before us in the Word of God instances of heavenly agencies working on the minds of kings and rulers, while at the same time, satanic agencies were also at work on their minds. No human eloquence, in strongly set forth human opinions, can change the working of satanic agencies. Satan seeks continually to block the way so that the truth shall be bound about by human devising, and those who have light and knowledge are in the greatest danger unless they constantly consecrate themselves to God, humiliating self, and realizing the peril of the times. Heavenly beings are appointed to answer the prayers of those who are working unselfishly for the interests of the cause of God. The very highest angels in the heavenly courts are appointed to work out the prayers which ascend to God for the advancement of the cause of God. Each angel has his particular post of duty, which he is not permitted to leave for any other place. If he should leave, the powers of darkness would gain an advantage.
In the record of Daniel's experience, we read, Daniel 10, verse 16 to 21, quoted, "Day by day the conflict between good and evil is going on. Why is it that those who have had many opportunities and advantages do not realize the intensity of this work? They should be intelligent in regard to this. God is the ruler. By his supreme power, he holds in check and controls earthly potentates. Through his agencies, he does the work which was ordained before the foundation of the world. As a people, we do not understand as we should the great conflict going on between invisible agencies, the controversy between loyal and disloyal angels. Evil angels are constantly at work, planning their line of attack, controlling as commanders, kings, and rulers, the disloyal human forces. I call upon you who are not ready for the last great controversy to wake up. You are not watching for that which is soon coming upon the earth. Human instrumentalities under the control of fallen angels are seeking to gather in their harvest. Those who would find themselves under the protection of the angels of God must live wholly for God's glory, prepared to stand in their lot and in their place. They are to be faithful and true, even as Daniel was, a man called by the Lord, greatly beloved, a man who felt the need of praying and confessing his sins. Those who do as Daniel did are not asleep, but are keenly alive to their exposure to the enemy's malignant devices. They see that their only safety is in keeping the commandments of God. They pray as Daniel prayed, confessing their sins and finding pardon. Over every man, good and evil angels strive. It is the man himself who determines which shall win. I call upon the ministers of Christ to press home upon the understanding of all who come within the reach of their voice, the truth of the ministration of angels. Do not indulge in fanciful speculations. The written word is our only safety. We must pray as did Daniel, that we may be guarded by heavenly intelligences. As ministering spirits, angels are sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Pray, my brethren, pray as you have never prayed before. We are not prepared for the Lord's coming. We need to make thorough work for eternity. White Estate, Washington, D.C., July 22, 1981.